today on The Word of Truth Revealed.
I don't care about what you went through. I don't need to see it. And if everybody can see it, it's not valuable. You got scar damage and emotional inflation. Because everybody can see it. If it's valuable, nobody should see it but one or two. Every time you don't like something, you want to go on Facebook. What's wrong with these kids? Get yourself together. Make sure you don't show the world everything that's going on in your life. When you go out of town, don't tell them, because people will rob you while you're out of town.
Celebrating 32 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, Strong Man. Today, Bishop will be teaching from Genesis chapter 29, verses 1 through 10.
Genesis 29, I'll deal with announcements later. We got some stuff we need to talk about with regards to Driven, which is a life group that's coming up, and I need you to join it as soon as you can, and I'll be dealing with that today. And Thrive has an extravaganza, a field day that's going to take place in a park here in Palm Bay. You can scan the QR codes for both of them, but I will emphasize it later in the scripture, later in the day. But right now, let's get into the word of the Lord. Genesis 29, verses 1, it's lengthy today, 1 through 10. Genesis 29, verses 1 through 10. And the word of the Lord reads like this: Then Jacob continued on his journey and came to the land of the eastern peoples. There he saw a well in the field with three flocks of sheep lying near it, because the flocks were watered from the well, or from that well. The stone over the mouth of the well was large. When all the flocks were gathered there, the shepherds would roll the stone away from the well's mouth and water the sheep. Then they would return the stone to its place over the mouth of the well. Verse 4, Jacob asked the shepherds, My brothers, where are you from? We're from Haran, they replied. He said to them, Do you know Laban, Nahor's grandson? Yes, we know him, they answered. Then Jacob asked them, Is he well? Yes, he is, they said. And here comes his daughter Rachel with the sheep. Look, he said, the sun is still high. Is it not time for the flocks to be gathered? Water the sheep and take them back to the pasture? We can't, they replied, until all the flocks are gathered and the stone has been rolled away from the mouth of the well. Then will we water the sheep. Verse 9, while he was still talking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she was a shepherdess. When Jacob saw Rachel's daughter, Rachel, daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and Laban's sheep, he went over. Notice he didn't wait on anybody else. He went over and rolled the large stone away from the mouth of the well and watered his uncle's sheep. In other words, he had supernatural strength. He moved the boulder that took several men to move. When he was inspired, he was able to move it himself. In other words, when you're inspired, you can move some stuff. So I want to talk to you. I did it this morning, Scarred Man. Today at 11, I want to deal with a message called Strong Man. Happy Father's Day. Father, I give you praise for the strength infused and release to move things that are blocking flow. And I give you praise for the strength that you're releasing upon the body of Christ to not get caught up with the fact that we were scarred and injured and allowing it to define us. But I thank you, Lord, for catapulting us into another realm of strength and dignity and inspiration to move some things within our power that's blocking the flow. Our family can't be watered. That which we're responsible for can't be nurtured and refreshed because there's something blocking it. So I thank you, Father, for the strength to get it done, resting upon every man and every woman under the sound of my voice. And I give you glory for it now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you give God praise for the word? Strength is coming to you. I said strength is coming to you. Come on. I said strength is coming to you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This morning I was inspired to minister about or to the scars of our community, to the scars that are in the lives of men. Actually, all of us bear scars. And I shared with the congregation something that was shared with me from a friend of mine. Actually, he was a racist. And I believe our relationship helped him to shift the strength that God gave us both, helped us to shift from a racist type barrier to where we became friends. He told me I couldn't go to Louisiana with him because his father was still a racist. And he wouldn't take kindly to that. And so I stayed out of Louisiana. I didn't try to go home and force myself into an area that I wouldn't be like. But he shared with me, we became friends, we were roommates, and I asked him about, since he was a farmer and a hunter and all of those things, what was one of the most scariest encounters he's ever had? And he shared with me that he and his father were trappers as they hunted. And so they would lay out traps and try to pull wild hogs and things of that nature into traps. This is how they got their food. And so one morning when they got up at 2 a.m. to check out a trap, as they came into this dark spot, they were moved by the sound that was being made. And they realized that what they were actually going for wasn't in the trap. They didn't see it, but they can tell by the sound that it wasn't a hog. And as they got closer and shined light, they realized it was a wildcat or a bobcat. And it was vicious, and it was wild, and it was hurt, and it was making weird sounds. And so he noticed that it was untamable. As they tried to get close to free it, it wouldn't allow anyone to get close. Everybody was the enemy. And its right paw was caught in the trap, and it had a chain on it. So it was, as it stretched out trying to get out of the trap itself, it leveled all of the vegetation around. So nothing looked sensible. Nothing looked at peace. Nothing looked neat, nicely, nice or tidy around the trap. And so they wanted to free it, but it wouldn't allow them to get close, and they had to kill it. They actually had to shoot it. And he said when they pulled it out of the trap, the animal was, it was muscular, and it was strong. It had fangs and it had claws, but it only had one scar, and that was on its paw. The rest of its body was perfect, but they had to kill it. And I just got this revelation this morning that those of us that have been trapped, you know, the trap is for animals. The trap is for slaves, but you're not a slave. And you're not an animal. But look at this. The animal wouldn't allow anybody to free it, like many of us that have been injured and we've gone through trauma. If anybody gets close to us, fangs come out. Or we may get triggered to something that happened to us years ago and everybody's painted with a black brush. And we become vicious with the ones that's trying to free us. And it takes death before people see how beautiful you are. You only got one scar. Let me help you. Don't allow a scar to define your life. Everything else has gone well in you, but we got this one thing that we haven't dealt with right. And anyone getting close can catch a fang or be ripped to shreds. And only death can reveal just how beautiful you really are. The Lord spoke to my heart that I needed to speak on scars. And so I would encourage you to get this morning's message, because I think just like many of us have friends or many of us don't have friends, almost everybody in the room, if you're over 40, has a scar. And I don't know why anybody would leave church because you get a scar in church. When women are getting tattooed from the head up, from the foot to the head, and enduring much pain in the chair, but can't handle no emotional distress, can't handle somebody looking at you weird. Listen, man, we got a job to do. This world is burning on fire. We've got to get back into the street and get them saved. Why would we allow a scar to define us? I just won't give that kind of power to a mark. Actually, the scar tells me and the world that I went through a trauma and I survived it. Touch your neighbor and say, I'm a survivor. Yeah, I'm a survivor. I'm not trying to fight through. I'm a survivor. I went through it, but I came out of it. I went through the storm, but I came out of it. I went through the surgery, but I came out of it. I went through the breakup, but I came out of it. I went through the financial issue, but I came out of it. I went through the molestation and the abortions and all of that other stuff, but I came out of it. I went through it, but I'm out. You can't define me by what I went. Oh, my God. Come on, give him praise, because God is bringing many of us out, and we're not going to allow scars to define us. Who's walking around showing the world your scars? You only do that to friends. Jesus didn't even show his scars to everybody. After he was resurrected, the scripture says he came into a room, only 12 in the room, and he showed the 12 his hands and his feet. Why would you go on Facebook to talk about your scars? I don't care about what you went through. I don't need to see it. And if everybody can see it, it's not valuable. You got scar damage and emotional inflation. Because everybody can see it. If it's valuable, nobody should see it but one or two. Every time you don't like something, you want to go on Facebook. What's wrong with these kids? Get yourself together. Make sure you don't show the world everything that's going on in your life. When you go out of town, don't tell them, because people will rob you while you're out of town. Ooh, I'm here. I'm on a cruise. What? You don't need to know everything that's going on in my life. And then why would you get mad if I talked about you when you put it on Facebook? I can't believe he said it. You're putting it on Facebook. Anyway, don't allow church folk to give you scars. Actually, if you're getting hurt in church, if you listen to the message, because I'm about to get into this one. I'm already preaching, right? Right. Listen, I'm a modern day prophet. I'm not one of those preachers that's trying to wine you and dine you so you can go home the same. When you leave this message, you're going to have some strength. That's what I'm talking about. Father's Day. You're going to stop allowing your scar to define. I don't go to church because, see, I was hurt when I was a teenager. A man saying that. And you've been in the military? You've been to college? But I don't believe in that faith stuff. What? You believe in faith all of the time. Actually, fear is speaking to you. Fear. It's not courage. Men face fear unflinchingly. They look in the wind and still say, okay, it's tough out there, but I got to go. There's a storm. I got to feed my family. I got to go to work. I can't sit up in the house talking about stuff ain't right. I got to get stuff done. And we face our fears every day. Actually, fear is faith in something that you see or something that you believe. False evidence appearing real. It's still a faith or belief segment there. And so I'm just saying, believe God.
instead of looking at the circumstance, say, I believe God. It's the other end of faith. It's the opposite of fear, which is the other end of faith. All you got to do is put your confidence in the Lord. What is the Lord saying? Is that a snake? Oh, that's a cord. Oh. What in the hell? What? Oh. Somebody shout Jesus. Say Jesus. Jesus, I don't need him. I only want the blood over the doorpost. I don't need no. Let me tell you something. You better notice stuff when it shifts in your house. You better notice. You don't notice anything. You don't notice when she changed her hair. You don't know. When she put on new heels, you don't notice. You don't know how to say thank you. That looks pretty. You don't see it. You can't tell when your daughter's shifting. You can't tell when your son walking around with no shirt on. You can't tell something wrong. He has no fear of women, older women, just walking around and y'all playing with it. You don't think something wrong? He's watching pornography. He's smoking. You got to check that when he's 13. I'm just preaching, man. Listen, you don't notice. You say he's a real, he ain't a real man at 13. He may be able to sling, but he's not a real man. You got to lock that up, son. Got to teach you chivalry. You don't notice when children shift. You can't see it. You can't tell when something is moving. I'm just saying. We got a long way to go and we got a short time to get there. Anyway, but I was talking to you about Jacob. Jacob took his brother's birthright. He had to leave home and he's fleeing. His mom and daddy said, don't marry none of the Canaanite women. You need to go to your peoples. Get with your peoples. I don't know these people. Well, you need to get with your people. And he did it. When he gets into the region, he don't know them. This is his first time coming over the hill. And he comes to a well that happens to be tied to the people he's looking for. And some of you don't understand that God has positioned you. He's taking you to a flow. You think you just stumble on it, but you didn't just stumble up on this right here. God put you there. Your feet are being ordered by the Lord. When the man came over the hill, he saw a well, man, but it had a boulder on it. He has a little wisdom because he has some experience himself. Why are we doing things the way that we do this? He's asking questions. And a real man that's moving towards strength will not just accept the status quo, but ask questions. Why are things the way they are? If you just accept the way that they are, I'm going to tell you, you lack strength. But ask the questions, why are we doing it this way? Do you know this person? Do you know that person? If a person says, well, I'm a preacher, okay, where did you get your credentials? Who are you under? Who do you relate to? Well, I don't relate to nobody but Jesus. You ought to moonwalk away from that person. Just because you get likes don't mean you're authenticated. Who's your pastor? Who did you grow up under? Who are your peoples? What's your tribe? What's your language? I don't need to know all of that. I don't need history. Well, why are you trying to lead me? Why are your words valuable if they've never been authenticated? What made you special? Who did you submit to? And comply to the submission. Because some people say, I'm submitted, and they may be kneeling, but inside of them, they're standing. Defiant the whole time through. While I'm preaching, Googling, I don't know what he's talking about. Well, anyway, I'm preaching anyway. Jacob came over the hill, and he saw a well. He starts asking questions. He doesn't have a family yet, but he's asking questions. Where's the pedigree? Do you know Laban? That was my mother's brother.
Do you know anything about his house, his people? Let me tell you his pedigree. He's the son, the grandson of this man. He's asking questions about pedigree. Only thing men are concerned about is shape today. They don't care about where you came from. But you gotta be wise. If you're gonna start a family, you need to be wise. Oh my God. You need to be wise, and you need to be able to see something. The woman that he looked like had something in common with him. He was a shepherd, and so is she. Shepherdess. That means she can manage sheep. She knows how to handle sheep. She's of the same pedigree, but she's from a distance. He doesn't really know her. He doesn't know her, but he can see she's managing something. Glory to God. She's not just sitting there and have mascara and looking pretty. She can manage something, man. She can manage things. So when you want to get your life right, don't you want to connect with somebody that can manage? I'll preach myself happy. I don't know. And if she can manage, let her manage. I got people, man, they say, I'm the man. You can't manage it yourself, but get mad when she manage. Let her manage. I don't write checks in my house. I don't write checks. She writes the checks. I don't write checks. She could be robbing me blind. I wouldn't know. I don't know. I ain't worried about it. I ain't worried. Manage it. Manage it. You're not going to move thousands without me knowing it. Manage it. And when I need to manage something, let me manage. When I'm driving, I don't want her telling me what you need to do. Wait a minute. I let you manage. Let me drive. Now I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. You want to manage everything. Write the check. Let me drive. Jacob looked at the woman, saw skill, but there was no flow. What good is bringing all of your managerial into a region, but there's something capping the flow? You got all of this managerial, but there's still something missing. Right now, her sheep need water, and Jacob needs a woman. So instead of sitting there saying, you do it, he said, I think I got enough strength to move what's blocking your flow. And that man didn't wait on everybody else. Until he moved it out the way. That's what he did. I want you to see it. He moved it out of the way. He didn't wait on somebody else to move it. He moved it. And I believe God is going to infuse you with strength to move that which is blocking the flow. You got to be able to identify and have enough courage to move it. I'm praying that it give you strength. And Jacob is not some weakling or so timid that he can see it but won't do nothing about it. You got to move it out the way. And that's what God wants. That lady looked at him moving it and said, that must be my man. I got all these other guys sitting there waiting. They got managerial, but they won't move nothing. I need a man. If you read on in the text, it says, and then Jacob, after he moved it, and she watered the flocks, He looked at her and he kissed her. And he wept. So strength don't mean you can't show emotions. I started to put it in the text, but I want you to read. You'll see it next two verses down after he watered. He looked at her, he kissed her. And he did what? He wept. Strength is not the absence of emotions. It is you can be strong and be human. Show that you have affection and that you have emotions.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For an MP3 of today's message, Strong Man, log on to our website at www.truthrevealed.org and download reference number 2406-1611. That's reference number 2406-1611.
The latest Revealed magazine edition is available on truthrevealed.org. You can download a copy or purchase a hard copy for $3 at the communication and promotion counter. Ladies, we invite you to join Pastor Sabrina for Women's Sunday School in the sanctuary at 10 a.m. It will be a time of fellowship, learning, and growth. See you there.
Focus Young Adult Ministry will meet on Friday, June 28th at 7 p.m. in the fellowship hall. Join us for fellowship, group discussions, and more. Scan the QR code in the foyer to get involved. Vacation Bible School Praise Party 2 is from July 15th to July 19th. Register your kids ages 2 to 6th grade and grab those t-shirts using the mobile app or scan the QR code in the foyer.
Sign up for the life-changing Driven Group today. Scan the QR code in the foyer to unlock your life's purpose. Contact Elder Toby for more information.
Join Bishop Clark at the Men's Summer School Study Series, Kingdom Men Rising, starting June 30th at 6 p.m.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.